Today's daf is Yevamos daf Samach Aleph, and we are at the very last line of daf Samach Amid Beis Tanya. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Elazar Lipa Shalom ben Fega Rachel, Sara Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Leah Gittel bas Devora, and Esther Kreindel bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Reb Zacharia Shimon ben Reb Yitzchak Hakoye, and the Ilui Nishmas Shlomo ben Yibada L'chaim Toivim Reb Chaim Doiv. So the topic of the last several dafin has been not Yevamos, but more the unique halachos related to a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol, who he's allowed to marry and who he's not allowed to marry. One of the women that a Kohen is not allowed to marry is a Geyiris. And the reason a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Geyiris is because a Geyiris was once a non-Jewish woman. At that point, there was a chashash she might have been a Zayna. As a result, a Geyiris is a Suffolk Zayna. A Kohen's not allowed to marry a Zayna. It's for that reason he's not allowed to marry a Geyiris. The primary topic of Daf Samech Amid Beis and Masechtas Yevamos was a chiddush that Reb Shimon bar Yochai said. And that is that although a Kohen's not allowed to marry a Geyiris, but a Geyiris that's Pchusa Mibas Shalei Shana V'yoy Mechad is Ksher L'Kahuna. He learned it from a pasuk in Parshas Matos. The Gemara discussed it for approximately an entire Amid, and now the Gemara is going to end this discussion mysteriously with another memra that Reb Shimon bar Yochai said, however, unrelated at all, seemingly anyways, to the memra of Reb Shimon bar Yochai that was the topic of yesterday's daf. So we pick up on the last line of Daf Samech Amid Beis. The Gemara we're about to learn is one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. It's an absolute classic. It's a Gemara that everybody knows. It's a Gemara that comes up a lot in raid bites. And without any further ado, Tanya, we learned in a braisa, V'chein hoyo, Reb Shimon ben Yechai Yoimer. Reb Shimon ben Yechai used to also say, Kivrei oivdei keichavim, Einon metamin ba'oil. The kever of an oivet keichavim is not metamin ba'oil. We know there's something called tumas meis, which means that the kever of a person is inevitably going to be tumah because there's a corpse. There's a meis inside the kever. Rav Shimon bar Yochai said a chiddush. That's only true for kivrei Yisrael. However, kivrei oivet keichavim ain metamin ba'oil. How did he know that? You need a pasuk for this. Shenemar. It says in Sefer Yecheskel, va'atein tsoini, tsoin marisi, Adam Atem. And Reb Shimon bar Yochai darshan Atem Kruyan Adam, the Ein Ha'ovdei Keichavim Kruyan Adam. Adam Atem. Atem is referring to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are referred to as Adam. However, Ein Ha'ovdei Keichavim Kruyan Adam. Okay, what does it have to do with Tumas Meis? Because the Pasuk says, with regards to Tumas Meis, Adam Kiyamus Ba'oil. So the criteria for Tumas Meis is Adam, and only Atem Kruyim Adam. It's for that reason, said Reb Shimon bar Yochai, that Ovdei Keichavim are Einam Metamim Ba'oil. But the Gemara questioned what Reb Shimon bar Yochai said. Is that true? Ovdei Keichavim are not called Adam. There are psukim in Tanakh that would seem to suggest very, very clearly that even Ovdei Keichavim are called Adam. Meisvei, the first kash of the Gemara is, it says in Parshas Matos, V'nefesh Adam Shisha Asar Aleph. Now the context of this pasuk is the Melchama against Midian, and it describes all the Nefesh Adam that were killed, and how many were they? They were 16,000. But the point is, we're describing the people from Midian, and the pasuk refers to them as Adam. So the Gemara says, Mishum Behema. Really, in a vacuum, Ovdei Keichavim would not be called Adam. However, those psukim that the Gemara just quoted is contrasting the amount of behemoths that there were and the amount of people that there were. So, in terms of contrasting the Adam of the Ovdei Keichavim versus the behemoths, then it would fear to describe the Ovdei Keichavim as being Adam. Meaning, you want to know if an Ovdei Keichavim in a vacuum is called Adam? The answer is no. However, relative to a behema, he is considered an Adam. So that pasuk means relative to behema, and that's why we could refer to him as an Adam. Faith the Gemara, another kasha. It says, "Mi asher yesh ba harbe mishteim esrei riboy Adam asher lo yada ben yemino l'smoyle." This is a pasuk in Yoyna of Maftar Yoyna fame, and it's describing all the people that were in Ninveh, and these people were not Jewish people. They were Ovdei Keichavim, and still the pasuk describes describes them as harbe mishteim esrei ribe adam. So you see that even over the Chachamim are called adam. So the Gemara says there too mishum behemah, because you look in the Psukim also describe how many behemoths there were. So relative to the behemoths, the over the Chachamim were called adam. But again, in a vacuum, they would not be called adam. For the Gemara nachakasha kol hirig nefesh v'chol negeya b'cholol tischato. So the pasuk over there is also regarding the Mochama against Midian. And the pasuk says that all the people that came back from war, they had to purify themselves. Not just them, but all the different kelim. And the reason is because they came in contact with tumah. V'chol negeya b'chalo tischatu. What does it mean? They were negeya b'chalo l'chayra. These were the corpses of the Midianites. These non-Jewish corpses. So you see clearly, mefurish, not just that oivdei kechavim are called Adam, but even more to the point that Kivrei Akum Armitamu. But the Gemara says Dilma Iktol Chad Meisrael. Maybe the reason they had to purify themselves was not because they came in contact with a Midianite that had died, but maybe because there were Jewish casualties as well, and maybe it was the Yid that died that was causing the Tumah. But the Gemara says Rabbanon, the Rabbanon weren't masking to that, because Lo Nifka Nimenu Ish. The Pasuk says clearly that there were no casualties. So if the Pasuk says there were no casualties, so why they have to be Metamah? Bal Karchuk, the reason they had to be Metamah was from the Oivdei Kechavim. But the Gemara says that Rabbanon, the Rabbanon hold Lo Nifka Nimenu Ish, Rab Shimon ben Yechai, Lo Nifka Mimenu Ish, Rab Shimon ben Yechai holds that what does it mean, Lo Nifka Mimenu Ish? Not Lo Nifka Mimenu Ish, that nobody physically died, but Lo Nifka Mimenu Ish means that nobody spiritually died, that there were no spiritual casualties, but in terms of people dying, it's not Muchach that nobody died. Ay, it says Lo Nifka Mimenu Ish, that means La'Avera, we know, Chazal say, in many places that when people would fight wars, they were particularly vulnerable when it comes to the Yetzahara, Dibra Torah connected Yetzahara, Rashi in the beginning of Parashas Kiseitzeh. So that's the Chiddush of Lo Nifka Mimenu Ish, that there were no issues in that regard. But in terms of casualties over there, it's not Muchach. And as a result, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is going to tell you that Lo Oilam Kivei Ovdi Kechavim and not Metama Ba'ol. Why did they didn't have to purify themselves when they came back from the war against Midian? It was simply because of the fact that there were Chalolei Yisrael. Ravina said a different teretz. Ravina said, "La'olam oivdei kechavim in metama ba'ol." That's the chiddush. That's the shita of Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. And it's true. It says in the pasuk that kol hirik nefesh v'chol negeh b'chol al tischatu. And it's true. Lo nifkad mimenu ish means physically. So bal karchuk to be metama themselves because they came in contact with a mace that was an oivdei kechavim. So how does it stem with what Rab Shimon Bar Yochai said? So Ravina said that nei dematinu krom nat muye ba'oil, because Rab Shimon Bar Yochai holds that the whole miut that oivdei kechavim are not metama. It's only that they're not metama ba'oil. Tchsiv adam kiyamus ba'oil. Aba mimaga umasa mi matinu kra. The Torah was never memaitem from maga and masa, and because the Torah was never memaitem from maga and masa, they would have tumas maga umasa. Even oivdei kechavim would, and that's why when the Yidden came back from the war against Midian, they had to purify themselves. Either way, this Gemara is a well known. It's a classic Gemara. It's the Gemara atem kriyam adam ve'ein. That's of course the most famous line in the Gemara that we just learned, and it's something that we will get back to Be'ezras Hashem in the raid. So the Gemara weiter, moving along, returning to our regular program for the moment, and that is different Isurei Kohuna, meaning different women that a kohen is not allowed to marry. Zok the Mishnah. Irei says Almana. What happens if a person, a kohen, was ma'aris an Almana? A kohen's allowed to marry an amana. A kohen's only not allowed to marry a zoyna, a chalala, and a grusha. A kohen gadol's not allowed to marry an amana. So this person was a kohen headed, and he was ma'aris an amana. He did erisin. And it's not only his kohen gadol. And while he's in a state of erisin, he was promoted, and he became kohen gadol. So the halach is yichnois. He's allowed to complete the marriage. He's allowed to do nesuin, even in a state of a kohen gadol. This is a chiddush. This is something that the Gemara talked about already earlier in the parak. Why is it a chiddush? Because now he's a kohen gadol. So now he's a kohen gadol. What gives him the right to do the nesuin? So the Mishnah, he's allowed to do the nesuna. Ma'aseh b'yishuv gamlo, b'sasur b'yishuv gamlo, shekidesh es marta bas baisus. He was mekadesh marta bas baisus, umino hamelach lias kohen gadol, and then the kohen gadol, then the king, we'll see who it was. It was Yanai Amelech, promoted him, made him into the Kohen Gadol. V'kintza, and afal pi, he became Kohen Gadol. He still married Marta Bas Baisus. So Marta Bas Baisus apparently was an Almana. Yeshua Ben Gamla was a Kohen. he was mekadesh the samana, which is something he has allowed to do. And again, while he was engaged, quote unquote, he was in the state of erusin, he was promoted to be the kohen gadol. Now, kohen gadol is not let him marry an almana, but because of this halacha, erusin almana v'nesman aliyas kohen gadol yichnois. So the Mishnah brings a ma'isa shahaya kachaya, where this actually played itself out. The Yishuv ben Gamla was actually mekadesh martabas ma'isus when he was a kohen hedyet. Then became the Kohen Gadol, and he did the Nisuin when he was a Kohen Gadol. Another halacha, Shemeres Yom Shanaf Lefnei Kohen Hedyet, Shemeres Yom that falls the Yibun to a Kohen Hedyet, the Nisman Aliyah Kohen Gadol, and then he became a Kohen Gadol, Afal Pisha Asaba Maimer, even though he did Maimer already when he was a Kohen Hedyet, Harez Allah Yichnois, he's not allowed to do the Yibun. Now, you would think that this is very similar to the first case of the Mishnah. Erez Eso Amono, the Nisman Aliyah Kohen Gadol, is similar to Shemeres Yom Shanaf Lefnei Kohen Hedyet, where he did Maimer, and then he was Nisman Aliyah's Kohen Gadol. Isha Hiknu Loi Min HaShamayim is in it itself like an Erisin. Maimer would seem to add a little bit to the Erisin. So you would think that this is Mamish the case, where Kohen Hedyet was Ma'aris and Almana, now he should be able to be Gomer. So why shouldn't he be able to do the Yibum? The Gemara is going to ask the Kasha. But either way, what's the point of the Mishnah? The point of the Mishnah is that even though Kohen Gadol is not let him marry an Almana, but at the same time, if the Erisin happened when he was a Kohen Hedyet, then if he became Kohen Gadol in the interim, he'd be allowed to do the Nisuin when he's a Kohen Gadol. That's only true as it relates to your conventional Erusin and Nisuin. However, as it relates to a Yavamo, if the Nefila Liyibam, she became a Shemeres Yavam to a Kohen Hedyet, who's allowed to do Yibam, even if he did Maimer, but if then he became a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do Yibam, so the Halach is HaReza LaYichnois, here too he would not be allowed to do Yibam. And by the way, why is a Kohen Gadol not allowed to do Yibum? So it's really the next Mishnah. The reason is because every Yavama is by definition an Almana. So if a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, so then by definition he wouldn't be able to do Yibum either. So how do you know that if Kohen Hedyet was married to an Almana and then he became the Kohen Gadol, that loch is, he's allowed to do the Nisuin when he's a Kohen Gadol, Talmud Loimar. It says in the Torah, Yikach Isha, this is an abridged version of a Gemara that we had earlier in the week. So the pasuk is talking about the fact that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. And then it says at the end of the pasuk, yikach isha. Now, Pasha Yikach Isha is referring to what it said right before that. Ki im besula me'am of Yikach Isha. But Chazal darshan, that as much as it's true, Amono lo Yikach, but sometimes Amono Yikach. When is that? That's in this case. So the Gemara says, Yachi, if that's the case, Shemeres Yavam Nami, shouldn't Allah be the same for a Shemeres Yavam? That if a woman falls liyibum to a Kohen Hedyet, and then he's Nisman Aliyah, he's Kohen Gadol, he should be able to be Kohenes. Wachur, it's Mamish the same case, albeit in a unconventional type of erusin, but the Gemara says isha. It says yikach isha, and we darshin v'lo yivam ma'isa b'yishua. So the Mishnah brought a story where this actually happened. Where there was a kohen hedyet who was ma'aris an almana. He was nisman aliyah's kohen gadol, and the psak was that he was allowed to do the nisuin. Who was the kohen hedyet? His name was Yeshua ben Gamla. Who was the almana? Her name was Marta bas Baisus. So the Gemara makes a diuk in the Lashon HaMishnah. Ma'isa b'Yeshua ben Gamla, shekideish es Marta bas Baisus, uminohu ha-melech liyos kohen gadol. And then the king appointed him to be kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, minohu in nisman aloy. It sounds like the king was the one who made the decision that he should be the kohen gadol. However, nisman aloy. He wasn't voted in the more traditional way. Meaning, it sounds like he wasn't really ra'oi to be the Kohen Gadol. It just so happens that the king decided to make him the Kohen Gadol. I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, Kater kichazina hacha. I see a kater over here. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Kesher shal rishoim ani royakan. It seems like there was some nepotism, there was some shtick going on behind the scenes, and that's what resulted in this appointment. And the Gemara says that is in fact true, because we have a Messiah, the Amar Ravasi. Ravasi said, Tirkava de Dinri Ailole Marta Bas Baisos Liane Malka. Ya Marta Bas Baisos, this Almana, the Yeshua ben Gamlo, was Mekadesh, was a very, very wealthy woman, and she gave an exorbitant amount of money to Yane Amelech Ademoikilo, the Yeshua ben Gamlo, until he appointed Yeshua ben Gamlo, Bekani Ravervi, as the Kohen Gadol. So it's true, it's the diuk is a very valid diuk. It wasn't Nisman Aliyah's Kohen Gadol, but rather it was Uminohu HaMelech Liyah's Kohen Gadol, because this was something that was done by Yane HaMelech. He was the king, so obviously whatever he said happened, and he had the right to do it. He was bribed, and as a result, he ended up acquiescing. So it's not punk. Yeshua Megam was a Kohen Hedyet. He's Mik'aris, Marta Bas Baisus, and it just so happens that right around that time there were elections and he became the Kohen Gadol. No, that's not the way the story played out. The way it played out, he was Ma'aris, Marta Bas Baisus. Marta Bas Baisus is a very, very wealthy woman. She wanted her husband to be the Kohen Gadol. She paid Yanei HaMelech, and that's the way he became Kohen Gadol. Incidentally, it's mashma from this Gemara that Yeshua ben Gamla is maybe not so good, right? This all took place during Bayesheni when there was a lot of corruption amongst the priests and even the high priests. And this seems to be in that vein. Stating that, it's not so posh in the Rishonim that Yeshua ben Gamla was really someone that wasn't good. In other contexts, he seems to be Zocher LaTov. We have a rate bite, a related rate bite as it relates to Yeshua ben Gamla. And in general, this concept, can a person buy a shteller? Can a person buy Rabbanus? Is that something that's okay? Is it something that's not okay? Hadvarim atikin mamish, a related rate vite. Zok the Mishnah vite. Kohen Gadol shemeis achiv, a Kohen Gadol whose brother died. So the Kohen Gadol is Shimon. The Kohen Gadol is the Yavam. So the Allah is choylet zulei miyam. Kohen Gadol do chalitza, but a Kohen Gadol can't do yibum. Zok the Gemara kapasik betani loishman, and erisim loishman anesuin. It sounds like this halacha that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do yibum is true. Whether the Yavama was a Yavama min Erisin, or whether the Yavama was a Yavama min Anasun. Meaning, every Yibam is Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Reuven dies, leaves over no children, and now Reuven's wife falls the Yibam to Shimon. The Mishnah is saying that in the event that Shimon is a Kohen Gadol, Reuven obviously was a Kohen Haggad, then the halacha is that Shimon, the Kohen Gadol, can't do Yibam. The only option he has is to do Chalitza. He's Chalitz Vlam Yavim, like so many of the Yavamis cases in the Masechta. Now, the Gemara is just Medayik, that the Mishnah just says, Kohen Gadol Shemeis Achiv Chalitz Vlam Yavim. Doesn't get involved in whether Reuven, the brother that died, was an Arus, or whether he was a Nasoi. Meaning, it doesn't matter if there was Arus or there was a Nasoon. So the Gemara asks a Geshmak and Kasha, Bishloim Amin Anasoon, Bishloim, if Reuven had done Nesuin, so that Eishes Reuven is an Almanim and Anasuin. I understand why Shimon the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibam. Why? Because Aseh V'lois Aseh. Because for the Kohen Gadol now to marry her would involve an Aseh and a Lois Aseh. The Lois Aseh is a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almanah. She's an Almanah. The Aseh is if there was Nesuin, so she's a Be'ula, and there's a Mitzvah Aseh, an Isser Aseh, for a Kohen Gadol to marry only a Besula. So if that's the case, that there's an asay and a lois asay, so it's very moving why the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibam, because the asay can't be doicha, the lois asay min asay, elam min erisin, but in the event that all Reuven had was erisin, so it comes out that when Reuven dies, Reuven's wife is an almanah min erisin. Almanah min erisin is a lois asay. She's an almana, a regular almana, but there's no asay because there was never a bia, so she is a besula. So in that case, why can't the Kohen Gadol do yibam? Why don't you say that the asay of yivamis, the asay of yivama yovayala should be deicha the loisa, say that the Kohen Gadol is not married almana? So the Gemara says, gzeira bia rishayna atu bia shniya. The reason is because you never say asay deicha loisa asay when it comes to Yibum, because the mitzvah I say is only the Bir Rishayna. The Bir Shni is already not going to be a mitzvah, and there's a gzera that if you're going to be matter a Bir Rishayna, it may result in a Bir Shni as well. So gzera Bir Rishayna atu Bir Shni. It's for that reason that Chazal said that there's no Yibum by a Kohen Gadol to an Almana, even an Almana to Erisin. And by the way, this sounds familiar. It's because this underpins almost the entire Masechta, and specifically Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says Mefurish that the halach is the Chayve Lavin Achulzim V'Loi Miyabim, and the Gemara asks the Kasha Chayve Lavin Achulzim V'Loi Miyabim. Say I say the Yichaloi say the Teretz is because Gzera Bi Rishayna Atu Bi Yishniya. This is true for all Chayve Lavin. The Mishnah is just mentioning it here because your classic example of a Chayve Lavin and Chayve Lavin V'Essen would be an Amon of the Kohen Gadol. If she's an Amon in Erisin, it's a Chayve Lavin. If she's an Amon in Anasuin, it's a Chayve Lavin. V'essen, Amonim and Anasuin, there's no discussion, it's Pashat, there's no Yibum. Because I say it's not Toich Alois, I say V'asei. The Chiddush is a regular Chayvi Lavin, which is an Amonim and Erisin, and the Teretz says, Be'er Rishoyna, Otto Be'er Shnir. Zok the Mishnah Vayit, Kohen Hedyet, Lo Yisra Islandess. A Kohen Hedyet is not let a marry an Islandess, Elo Imkein Yeshlo Isha Ubon. Unless the Kohen Hedyet already has a family. He has a wife, he has children, so then the halach is he'd be allowed to marry an islandess. But otherwise, he's not allowed to marry an islandess. Now, what's Pash Pshat in this halacha? An islandess can't have children. So if he's going to marry an islandess, he won't be able to have kids, and he won't be able to even kaim his mitzvah of peruvu. So Dr. Mishnah, kain hedi lo yisa islandess, elam ken yesh lo ishno banim, because if he does, he'll end up potentially being mevatel his mitzvah of peruvu. So what's the obvious kasha? says nothing to do with a kain head yet. This is true for every Yisrael. Every yid has a mitzvah puruvu. It's not a mitzvah that's unique to kayhanim. So really, nobody should be able to marry an islander. Elim ken yesh lo yishu banim. The Gemara is going to ask that kasha. Rabbi Yehuda said that kain head is not allowed to marry an islander. Afal pi she yesh lo yishu banim. Even if he has a family ready, it doesn't matter. He's not allowed to ever marry an islander. Why? So the Gemara is going to get into that as well. Lo yisa islandis. Oh, the Mishnah already gives the reason. She's zayna amura b'tayr, because she's the zayna, which the Gemara is going to elaborate on. The chachamim say ain't zayna. No. An islandis is a zayna. What's the havam mean? Even that an islandis should be a zayna. Rather, what is a zayna? Say the chachamim giyores umishuchreres v'shenivala be'ilas nos. Only a giyores. She's a zayna. Umishuchreres, a shivcha knanis that was freed. She's a zayna. And someone that was nivala be'ilas nos, she too would be considered. Now, just to clarify, a Giyaris is not Chalila a Zayna, but a Giyaris could potentially be a Zayna, because there is a chance that this Giyaris at one point was Nivala to a non-Jew, and if she would be Nivala to a non-Jew, the Chachamim hold, that would render her a Zayna. Same is true for a Mishuchreres. At one point, she was a Shivcha Knanis, which means at one point, she was a regular Knanis, so at one point, could be she was Nivala to a non-Jew. If she was Nivala to a non-Jew, that would render her a Zayna. And finally, she Nivala Bilas Nus. If someone had a Bilas Nus, we'll see more about this in the Gemara, to an apostle with the other person involved in this bia was a gavra, that's an apostle of gavra, such as an Eni Yehudi. Those are the cases of Bilas Nus. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda said that a kohen's never allowed to marry an islandess, because an islandess is a zoyna. The Chachamim said, no, ain't zoyna elo, kinyoris mishuchreres, shnivel Bilas Nus, which is another way of saying, ain't zoyna, unless the bayo was somebody that was apostle. So a very interesting Mishnah. A Mishnah that discusses, could a kohen marry an islandess? So Kohen can't marry a Zayna, not a Chalala, not a Grusha. Kohen Gadol can't marry an Almana. Kohen Gadol can't even marry a Ba'ula. A Giyoris, because of the Chashash, that maybe she's a Zayna, an Islandess. She's a Bas Yisrael, that's an Islandess. And the Mishnah has a discussion over here whether a Kohen Edid is allowed to marry an Islandess. In fact, the Machloik is Tanah. The Tanakam says, Kohen Edid lo yisa Islandess, elim ken yesh lo yishu banim. Rabbi Yehuda says, afal pi sheyesh lo yishu banim lo yisa Islandess, why she's Zayna ha'amur b'tayr. So the Gemara is going to discuss this Machloik is Tanah. First, the Shita Sachachom, the Tanakam of the Mishnah. Tanakam says, Kohen Edid can't marry an Islandess unless she has a family. And what's Pashup Shah? Because if she doesn't have a family, or if he doesn't have a family, he has an obligation to have a family. It's the first mitzvah in the Torah, Puruvu, Milwas Aretz, and he's not going to be able to make kind of mitzvah with the islanders. So therefore, like Yisai Lass, Amalei Resh Glusa Rafuna, Resh Glusa told Rafuna, my time, what's Shan in the Chacham and that hold the Kohen Hedya is not a marion, islanders, Elim Ken, Yeshli, Shubanim. So he said, what do you mean? Mishum Peri Verivya. It's because of Peri Verivya, like we just explained. So Resh Glusa said, I knew that you were going to say that. But a Peri Verivya, Kayhanim, who the Mifkid of Yisrael, Mifkid, so why is it Allah that's only Negev Kayhanim? This Allah is true for everybody. Even Yisrael should have this Allah. Why are we talking about this here in the Sugis and Yavamis that relate to who a Kohen's allowed to marry? So Rav Huna told the Reish Kalusa, no, Mishum Dekabayu Lemisni Seifa. The reason we mentioned this Shita regarding a Kayan is because we wanted to say the Seifa, and the Seifa is only Negei Kayan. What's the Seifa? Rabbi Yehuda says, Afa Misha Yesh Leisha, Fiyesh Loi Bonim, Laisa Islandis, Shehi Zayna Amura Betayra. Rabbi Yehuda says a Chiddush, that an islandess, a Kayan is never allowed to marry, because an islandess is considered a Zayna. Now, said Rav Huna to the Reish Kalusa, this halacha that a person is not allowed to marry a Zoyna, that's only true for a Kayan. That Zoyna can't move the Mifkiti. The Yisrael Goy Mifkiti. That's not true for Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda's Shita related to marrying an Islas is only true according to. It's only true by Kayhanim, Mishum Hachik Tani Kayan. That's why the Reisha of the Mishnah mentioned Kayhanim as well. Meaning, the first line in the Mishnah could be true in any sugya that's dealing with the mitzvah puravu. It has nothing to do with kayanim. Talach is a person can't marry an islandess, elim ken yeshle yishol banim, because he has a mitzvah of puravu. You want to know why we mentioned it by kayanim? Because by kayanim it's actually a machloikis. Because by kayanim there's a man damer Rabbi Yehuda that holds that even if a person has an yishol banim, talach is lo yisa islandess. So we wanted to set up the two shitas. One shita is that a kayan is no different than a yisrael, that lo yisa islandess, elim ken yeshle yishol banim, but if he has yishol banim, he can marry an islandess. The other shita is that even if he has an Yishu Banim, still he can't marry an islandess. So if all we were saying was the first sheet of the Mishnah, we would have said it even not by Kehanim. But because we're saying the second halacha as well, because by Kehanim there's a man da'ama that's chilek on this halacha, he holds even if he has Yishuv Banim still he can't marry her. Why not? Because she's the Zayna Amur Bat Torah. So if that's the case, that's why we mentioned it over here regarding Kehanim. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna continues at my time with Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda just explained the first part of the Mishnah. It's Mishum period of Rivya, and really has nothing to do with Kehanim. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda's halacha does have to do with Kehanim. What's Pshat? Why would Rabbi Yehuda hold that if someone's married to an islandess, the halacha is, it's as if he's married to a Zayna, so that from the perspective of a Koyen is Loyis, an islandess, Techsivi, based it on a pasuk. It says, V'achlu, V'loyis ba'u, Hiznu v'loyifroitzu, and we learn from here. Kol bia she'im ba pirtza, ain every bia that can't lead to pirtza ain yala bilas nos is a bilas nos. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but that is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Zok Tigmar Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer said, Koyein lo yisa as haktan. So again, this is all me'inyan le'inyan ba'is inyan to what we've been talking about the last few dafin. And Rabbi Eliezer said the following aloch: a koyein is not allowed to marry a ktan. Now, as we're about to see from here until the Mishnah, there was a big mavucha, there was some confusion amongst Amiram what Rabbi Eliezer meant. Why can't a koyin marry a ketana? I mean, we know the limitations of a koyin. Zayna, chalala, grusha, amana, and she has to be a besula. Okay, but why can't a koyin marry a ketana? So, says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Chizda l'Rabba, Rav Chizda told Rabba, poik ayin ba, go look and investigate this halacha, de lo'ur tabay le Rav Huna minach. Because you're going to see at night, Rav Huna is going to ask you this question. So Rav Huna is the Mara de Shmaita. Nafak ayin ba. So Rabba went into the Indian a little bit, he learned through the sugya, and he came out like this. He said, you want to know Pshana Rabbi Eliezer? I'll tell you Pshana Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, Savalik Rab Meir. Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rab Meir. The Savalik Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. He said, I think Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is a combination of two well-known Shitas. The Shita of Rab Meir and the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And just to be clear, Rabbi Eliezer predated Rab Meir and Rabbi Yehuda by quite some time. So what does it mean, Rabbi Eliezer, Savalik Rab Meir, Savalik Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is based on a Shita that we know as Shita's Rab Meir, and a Shita's Rabbi Yehuda that we know as Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, but not that Rabbi Eliezer was attributing it to Rab Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer came before Rabbi Meir. But either way, so Rabbi Eliezer, Savala, like the Chiddush Rabbi Meir and the Chiddush Rabbi Yehuda. Savala, like Rabbi Meir, these are Veltz Gemaras. He holds like Rabbi Meir, the Chayesh Lamiyuto, who's Chayesh Lamiyuto. Savala, like Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amma Island is Zayna, have you? That an island is considered a Zayna. So said, Rabbi, I'll tell you, Pshan and Rabbi Eliezer is a Zayna. He holds like Rabbi Meir, that's Chayesh Lamiyuto. That means that if there's a Ketana, right now, we don't know if she will be an islandess or she won't be an islandess. Until she gets older, there's no way to know, right? An islandess is a girl that doesn't bring simonim when she's supposed to bring simonim. There's a technical definition of what an islandess is. But when a girl's a ketana, there's no way to know yet whether she's going to be an islandess. Now, most ketanois will not be an islandess. However, Rameh is chayish l'miyuta. So because Rameh is chayish l'miyuta, you have to be chayish that maybe she really will be an islandess. Okay. So what if she's an islandess? Sava like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an islandess is a Zayna. And because Rabbi Yehuda holds an islandess is a Zayna, a Kohen's not let him marry an islandess. Oh, so said Rabbi, that's Pshana Rabbi Eliezer. Sava like Rabbi Meir, who holds that Yechayish Lumiyuta. So when there's a Ketana, you have to be Chayish, maybe she's an islandess. And Sava like Rabbi Yehuda, that an islandess is a Zayna. And a Kohen's not let him marry a Zayna. That's why Rabbi Eliezer said, Kohen lo yisa Ketana. But the Gemara says like this, can't be true. Because we have proof that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir, and we also have proof he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Literally, both accounts, both hanochas that Rabbi made, the Gemara said, can't be true in Rabbi Eliezer's world. Because we have information about Rabbi Eliezer, what he holds in both of those sugyas, and we know for sure he doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir who's Chayish L'miyuta, and he also doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda that an islandess is considered as anything. The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, could you say he holds like Rabbi Meir? But Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Now, we know Rabbi Meir's sheet is that he's Chayish L'miyuta, right? Throughout Shas, Rabbi Meir is always the one that's Chayish L'miyuta. What's the makar to Rabbi Meir being Chayish L'miyuta? The makar is Yuvamis. We didn't get to it yet. It's actually something that we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta. But the Makar to the Grosser Shitas Rav Meir, that's Chayish L'miyuta, is a sugya Masechta Zivamis, and the Gemara now is going to bring it briefly. Here is the Makar. It's a Braisa. Katan uktana, loy choltsin, v'loy miyav, and divi Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that a katan and a ktana can't do yibum and they can't do chalitza. There's no yibum and chalitza that can be done with a katan and a ktana. Amalei the Rav Meir, they told Rav Meir, yofa, martesh and choltsin, we agree that a katan and a ktana can't be involved in chalitza, because ish ksiv beparsha, because it says ish. It says the word ish related to chalit. So umakshin and ish ish. And there's a hekesh between the ish and the ish. So for sure, a katan and a ketana can't do chalitza. Elamai time yeh imi yabne. But Yibum, there's no Makar, there's no meat regarding Yibum, so why can't they do Yibum? Amalais Ramey told the Chachamim, I'll tell you why. Katan Shemi Yimatze Saris. I'm afraid that the Katan, when he gets older, will find out that he was a Saris. And a Saris doesn't do Yibum. Ketana Shemi Yimatze Islandis. And I'm afraid that the Ketana might end up being an Islandis. The Nimtzu Poigim Be'ervo. And it's going to come out that they're going to be Poigim Be'ervo. It's going to be a situation where we thought there was a heter Eshesach, but really there wasn't. Because by a Saris and an Islandis, it's Eshesach Shalei B'Makam Mitzvah. There's no Zika, there's no Nefila Liyibum. And it's going to come out, Nimtzu Poigim Be'ervo. So this is Rameyer Shita. Rameyer says that there's no Yibum by a Katan and a Ktana. Why? Chama said, Chalitza, I understand, there's a mit for Chalitza. But why is there no Yibum when it comes to a Katan and a Ktana? Rameyer said, because I'm afraid the Katan will be a Saris and Ktana will be an Islandis. Now, what are the statistical chances that the Katan is going to be a Saris and the Ktana is going to be an Islandis? They're very, very thin. Afal Pikein, Rameyer's mevatel a mitzvah today because maybe that's what's going to end up happening. In other words, Rameyer was Chayesh Lamiyuta. And this is the Makart Rameyer's Chayesh Lamiyuta. Okay, so what does Efdu Rabbi Eliezer? Tan Yulim to the Brayz, so Ketana Misi Abemes, Me'enoi Chaylet, Nesdiv Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Mefurish, a Ketana could do Yibum, no Chalitza. No Chalitza, like we saw in the Brayz. But yes, Yibum. Why? Maybe she's going to be an Islandess. The Teretz is, Rabbi Eliezer is not Chayesh Lamiyuta. So he doesn't hold like Rameyer. So the Gemara said, that Rabbi said, that Pshana Rabbi Eliezer is, he holds like Rameh, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. I just proved to you very, very clearly that he does not hold like Rameh. Okay, Uk Rabbi Yehuda Misavala. Now the Gemara is going to prove that Rabbi Eliezer couldn't have held like Rabbi Yehuda either. Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa. Zoyna. What is the definition of a Zoyna? So again, this has been a sub-theme of the last several Dafin, and it's really the subject of a major machloikis tanon. The Gemara is going to bring this machloikis right here. Zoyna kishma div Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said that a zoyna is kishma. You want to know what a zoyna is? It's what the name zoyna implies. So what does the name zoyna imply? So we need Rashi. Kishma loshin toya. It's a woman that strays. She toya mitachas baila lacher. Which means she's straying from someone. Who's she straying from? The person she's not supposed to be straying from, which is her husband. The Rabbi Eliezer is like, Rashi ain't zoyna el eishes ish. Only an eishes ish. So a zoyna is an eishes ish that was mezana. That's the definition of zoyna. Rabbi Akiva says, zoyna zu mufkeres. Rabbi Akiva says, no. That a zoyna is a woman that makes herself hefker fiznus. Now Rashi says very clearly that mufkeres meaning vafilu pnuya, even if she's not married, doesn't hold like Rabbi Eliezer that she has to be a toya. If she's mafka herself, that in and of itself would be considered a zayna. But at the same time, Rabbi Akiva also holds that she has to be mafka herself. Rashi's lashon avu mishum biila achas lehavi zayna pnuya. That one biila wouldn't make a woman a zayna because she wasn't mafka herself. She was nichshol in an avera. Mafka herself means she literally makes herself hefker. Ramasim in charishaymer third shita afilu halach baila lashkoisa uba lerech. Masim and Chorosh holds any B.S. Isser makes a woman into a Zayna. So if she was involved in a B.S. Isser, that's a Zayna. And he tried to give an example of like the most extreme B.S. Isser, like the B.S. Isser that you would think would be the least B.S. Isser to make a woman a Zayna. She's a Safik Saita, she's on her way with her husband to the Beit HaMikdash to determine what exactly her fate is going to be. And Ala Derech, the husband was Baalel. So she was Nivela to her husband. Afal Pekin, that Bia turns her into a Zayna, because at the end of the day, it was a Bia's Issa. Rabbi Yehuda says, Zayna zu Islandis. My time with the Rabbi Yehuda, we saw that early in the Amid, he learns it from a Pasik. The Chachamim Aymerim ain't Zayna eligiyores umishukhreres, the Shenivala Bilosnos. Chachamim say what they said in the Mishnah, that a Zayna is only a woman who had a Bia, but the Bia was with a Gavra that's possible, like we spoke out, Giyores and Mishukhreres, with a Zachshash, it happened with a Yehudi, or Nivala Bilosnos, with a Gavra that's possible, like in Rashi, it would have to be with a Gavra that's possible. Rabbi Lazar Oymer, not Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar Oymer, Pane Abala Pnuya, Shaloy Lashay Mishos, Asa Zayn. Even a Pane Abala Pnuya, even if it's one time, that would be enough in order to make her into a Zayn. So we have a whole bunch of shitas in terms of what the halachic definition of a Zayn is. Again, where's an Egeya Zayn? Kayan. Kayan's not going to marry a Zayn. So you have to know what the definition of a Zayn is. But what do you see from here? You see that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold the Rabbi Yehuda. You know why? Because in all the shitas that the Gemara brought, one was shitas Rabbi Eliezer, and another one was shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer said, "Ein zoyna elo kishma." And what does kishma mean? Rashi, eishnes ish that was nivela tachas baila. Rabbi Yehuda was another shita. He said even an islandess is considered a zoyna. But the bottom line is, you see over here that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold the Rabbi Yehuda. So again, coming full circle, Rabbi Eliezer said, "Koyein lo yiso esaktana." And Rav Chisda went to Rabbi and he says, I'm telling you, listen, I'm giving you some inside information. Look into this because tonight you're going to be on the stand and they're going to ask you this question. Rav Hun is going to want to know. He's going to say, Rabbi, tell me pshat in Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So I'm giving you a heads up. You should prepare for a little bit. So he comes and he prepares and he says, I'll tell you pshat in Rabbi Eliezer. You wonder why Rabbi Eliezer holds that a coin salam area, a kintana, because he holds like Rabbi Meir and he holds like Rabbi Meir. That's Chayishul Mutas. So the kintana might be an nihilist. And he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Then an nihilist is a zayna. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Why? Number one, because I have proof that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that a ketana could do yibum. Rabbi Meir holds she can't do yibum because there's a chashash. She might be an islandist. An islandist doesn't fall to yibum. It's eishasach shlebe makom mitzvah. And you know he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Because in the big discussion amongst the Tanam, what the definition of a zayin is, one shita was Rabbi Eliezer, another shita was Rabbi Yehuda. Very different shitas. So the Gemara says, Elo Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava. So Rav Ada Bar Ahava said, Hacha, you have to say Pshan Rabbi Eliezer differently. A whole new Pshan Rabbi Eliezer. A totally different Pshan. And that is, Hacha b'koin gadol askin. We're not talking about a koin head yet. Rabbi Eliezer never said a koin head you can't marry a ketan. Even though it sounds like that's what he said. He said a koin gadol is not allowed to marry a ketana. That's what he was referring to. And he meant that it's dafka din in a koin gadol. Why? Because le'emas kanila l'chi gadol. When will the kedushin and the Nesu'in become a Kedushin Nesu'in Deiraisa, when she becomes a Gedayla. When she becomes a Gedayla, Ba'ulahi. At that point, she's already going to be a Ba'ula. So Rav Ada Bar Ahava said that Rav Eliezer was talking about a Kohen Gadol marrying a Ketana, where it sounds like, the Gemara will discuss this, but it sounds like at the time of the marriage, all it was a Kedushin Derabban. Why? Presumably because it wasn't her father that married her, it was one of her other kreidim, in which case, so we know it's Kedushin Mian, Kedushin Derabbanan, so she's only married Derabbanan. When will the marriage convert into a marriage Deiraisa? Every Kedushin Ketana Derabbanan became a Kedushin Deiraisa once she becomes a Gedoyla and there was a Bia. So at that point is when it's going to become a Kedushin Deiraisa. At that point she's a Ba'ula already. Because she had been living with this man, albeit midrabanan. So it's going to come out that this person, when he does the kedushin, nesu'in deiraisa, is doing it with a ba'ula. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a ba'ula. So Rabbi Rava said, that's why Rabbi Eliezer said, kohen gadol, are you sektana. But oh my Rava heard this, he said, mechalei lev. So Rashi says, this is some sort of expression where Rava thought that the oilam, they were somewhat chaser lev. They weren't really painting good when they were having this discussion. He says, what are you talking about exactly? Is it talking about with the kohen gadol who wants to marry this ketana? This ketana is going to get married through her father. That means it's going to be a kedushin deiraisa. He shaitu hu dekanila. So then this whole conversation is dead on arrival because she's anyways going to be married to deiraisa. And if it's talking about when she's getting married by herself, meaning one of her relatives, Abim Mekadosh, is Kedushin Derabbanon. Ha Rabbi Eliezer, he v'loi Rabbanon. What only Rabbi Eliezer would hold, that halacha is that Koyin lo yisa ketana, as if the Rabbanon would agree. It sounds like this was Rabbi Eliezer's chiddush, but the Rabbanon disagreed with him. If he means this, no one can argue. There's no one in the world that can argue that a Koyin Gadol is not let to marry ketana mid Rabbanon, because it's pashit. When he does the Kedushin Deiraisa, she's going to end up being a Ba'ula, and that's not something he's allowed to do. So really, it's Maman of Shach. If when the Kohen Gadol married the Ketana, she was Mikudashis Medeiraisa, then Stamazai, the simul point. And Elamites, when it was the Rabbanon, there's no one that would argue. Elamai, Rabbah said, you have to say Rabbi Eliezer and something else. The Oilam of Kohen Hedyet, really was talking about a Kohen Hedyet, the Chayshinon, and the reason the Kohen is not supposed to marry a Ketana is we're afraid, Shemet Tispata Olav. We're afraid that she may be Mezana Tachtov. That's what we're afraid. Because she's a Ketana, so it's going to be easy for someone to persuade her into a Bias Nos. And if Eishas Ish is Mezana Tachas Baila, she's also to her husband. And that's what we're worried about. Sigmar says, Yach Yisrael Nami, that even Yisrael shouldn't be able to marry a Ketana. No one should be able to marry a Ketana because she may end up being a Saita. So here too, another classic line in today's daf. Today's daf is Afachba Vafachba the Kulava. So the Gemara says, No, by Yisrael, we're not worried, because even if she'll be Nespata, Pitui Ketana is only an Oynes. The only time I'm worried about if she's married to a Kohen, because even if she's an Oynes, about Eishes Kohen, she Nensa, that Loch is as Asa Labailo, and that's what I'm worried about. Now, we have a related raid bite on this from about 30 or so Daphne ago, where the Rambam Shita, of course, is he doesn't bring the halacha pita ketana oynis, and the Kama Kumas in the Shtaber, the Kesef Mishnah says, he says, Chipasti, I looked everywhere to try to be Miyashiv, the Shita Zaramam, I can't be Miyashiv, the Shita Zaramam, this two Mefurish Gemaras and Shas that say pita ketana oynis. This is one of them. Regardless, Zokti Gemara Vayit Rapapa, and Rapapa said a different teretz. He said, you want to know why a kohen is not allowed to marry a ketana? He said again, b'kohen gadol. It is talking about a kohen gadol. Tai tanu is the following time. Tanya, we learned to the brayis, b'sula. Kohen gadol has to marry b'sula. Yochel ketana, you would think, even a ketana tamalim, isha. Isha sounds like she's older. Isha yochel bagris. So you would think she's already 12 and a half tamalim, b'sula. Hakeitzad, yotza michal katnos. She's not a ketana, uchal bagris, leibasa. But at the same time, she's not a bagaris. So you see clearly that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a ketana. It's learned from a pasuk. It's like a din day rice of Besula. Nachma Yitzchak Amar, Hai Tanu is the following Tanu. Tanu went to the rice of Besula in, it says Besula in Besula Ela Naira. Besula is a Naira. How do I know that? V'chenu Oyim, it's a Pasik that says, V'hanaira toivas mara ma'oid Besula. V'hanaira toivas mara ma'oid Besula. So she's a Naira. And then the Torah says, Besula, so you see a Besula is always a Naira. Oh, so if a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula, and a Besula has to be a Naira, meaning not only not a Begaris, as we saw in the previous Daffin, but also not a Ketana, that's why Kohen Gadol would not be able to marry, or Kohen Gadol would not be able to marry a Ketana. So again, Rabbi Eliezer said a statement. His statement was, Kohen lo yisas a Ketana. There was a big tumult. What did he mean? Did he mean a Kohen Hedyeh? Did he mean a Kohen Gadol? Why would a Kohen Hedyeh not be allowed to marry a Ketana? And even a Kohen Gadol for that matter. Why would he not be allowed to marry a Ketana? The Gemara had a whole bunch of different suggestions what Pshat might be. Maybe it's based on Rav Meir Shita that Yechai Shlom Yuta and Rabbi Yehuda Shita that every islandess is a Zionist, and maybe there's a Chash that every Ketana is going to be an islandess. The Gemara said, I hear it works. The math checks out, but doesn't work in Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer's side doesn't hold like Rav Meir, and he also doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, maybe it's because it's talking about only a Kohen Gadol, and we mean Kohen Gadol shouldn't do a Kedusha Ketana Midrabbanan, because then when he does the Kedusha Dairaisa, when she gets older, it's going to come and she's a Be'ula, and he's violating the halacha that a Kohen Gadol is only allowed to marry a Besula. The Gemara said, I hear, but that can't be what Rabbi Eliezer meant, because if that's what Rabbi Eliezer meant, then nobody would argue with Rabbi Eliezer, and it sounds like it's only Shita's Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara said that you have to say some other pshat. What's the pshat? Other the pshat in Rabbi Eliezer was, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that really was talking about a Kohen Hedyeh, and because a Ketana can very easily be persuaded into Znus, so therefore a Kohen should not marry a Ketana. You'll tell me no one should marry a Ketana. No. Because Peter Ketana is only Oynes, and in Eishes Yisrael, Shenenso, the Halacha, she's Muteris Labailo. It's only in Eishes Koyin Shenenso that's Asur Labailo. Alternatively, maybe Rabbi Eliezer was talking about a Koyin Gadol, not a Koyin Hedyeh. He was talking about a Koyin Gadol, and it's because he holds that a Koyin Gadol has to marry a Besula. It's a pasuk in the Torah, and the definition of Besula is Naira. Two Makaris of how you would know that, but it's based on the fact that it has to be a Naira. So either Pshan Rabbi Eliezer, he means Koyin Hedyeh, and it's because Shema Tespata Olo, Peter Ketana Oynes, and that's why it's only Negeya Kohen, or he meant Kohen Gadol, it's because a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula, and only a Naira is considered a Besula, a Begeris is not considered a Besula, like we saw in the previous Daffin, and a Ketana is also not considered a Besula. As a postscript to this whole discussion, Rabbi Laza says, Pani Abala Pnuya, Shaloy Lashem Ishus, Asa Zoyna. Anytime a Pani is Baal Apnuya, even Shaloy Lashem Ishus, it's a Zoyna. Amram said, in Alochik Rabbi Laza, we don't paskin like Rabbi Laza exhale. So just one ha'ara, as it relates to the lighter portion of today's daf, and that is the very beginning of the Gemara, really the opening remarks of the Gemara, which were, Tanya, V'chein hoi Rav Shimon Baruch Chaya Aymer. Rav Shimon Baruch Chaya used to say, Kivrei Ovdei Kechavim, Einon Metame Ba'oil. The Kfarim of Ovdei Kechavim are not Metame Ba'oil, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Ve'etein Tzoyni, Tzoyn Marisi, Adam Atem. And we learn from this Pasuk, Adam Atem, Atem Kruyim Adam, Ve'ein Adam. Parenthetically, before we start the raid, I saw in the Sefer HaChaim. So the Sefer HaChaim is a Sefer that we quote from. It's from the Achi Amaral, Reb Chaim Reb Tzalol Mifriedberg. It's actually not in the Sefer HaChaim. It's in the Sefer Igeres HaTiel. So it's in the Chelek HaRemez Oiskof. See, he goes through different things that start with the letter Kof, and he talks a little bit about it. One of the things he mentions is Keli. Keli, a Keli. So he says, Keli is Nutrikon Koyein Levi Yisrael. This is what Reb Chaim Reb Tzalmi Friedberg said. He said, the word Keli is Rosh HaTevis, Koyein Levi Yisrael. And he says, there's an Oymek over here. He says, because Kelim are synonymous with Yidin, and they're really the foundation of the Bria. That's what he says. Kalim are the foundation of a bria. And he says, I'll tell you, Remez Ladover. They're chaf base oisias shabai nivru shamayim varetz, right? They're 22 oisias. Those are the oisias of the aleph base. He says, if you look at the 22 oisias, you have aleph through tes, that's 1 through 9, and then you have yud, chaf, lamid, men. Yud, chaf, lamid, men is oisias, kalim. And then you have the next 9 oisias. So he says, right in the middle of the chaf beis oisias, you have kalim, Rosh Hatevis kalim. That's because kalim is the yisoid, it's the shayrish of everything. And remez ladover, kali is koyin levi yisrael. See, he says afterwards that just like you find this concept of atem kriyam adam, ve'ein oivdei kechavim, ein umayisa oilam kriyam adam, it's in a similar vein. Atem kriyam kalim, ve'ein umayisa oilam kriyam kalim. As I state in Rab Chaim, Rab Salmi Friedberg, it sounds a little like Sisrei Taira. But this is what he says. What came to mind, this is the only reason I'm mentioning this today, is the Goyen that we spoke at earlier in the week, that there's Dalit things that are mamish part of the mahus of the person. And one of them is a person's possessions. Kalim is Kayhanim Levim Yisraelim, Atem Kriyam Adam, Atem Kriyam Kalim. Again, Me'inyan Le'inyan, a little bit, but Isa Inyan. But again, we're discussing the Gemara, not Atem Kriyam Kalim, but Atem Kriyam Adam. Ve'ena Oivde Kechavim Kriyam Adam. Toisvis, over here in Yavamas Amachalif, and Avodazar Daf Gimel, and other places as well, asks Akasha from a Gemara, and Mesachtes Avodazar Daf Gimel Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, "How Rameir used to say, how do you know that if you have an Oivik Echavim and he's Oisik Betoiro, that he's like a Koyin Gadol?" Talmud Oimar, it says in the Pasik, "Ashe Yasa Oisam Ha'odam V'Chay Behem." The entire Pasik is, "Ushmartem Es Chukoisai Ve'Es Mishpatai Ashe Yasa Oisam Ha'odam V'Chay Behem Ani Hashem." So said Rameir, "Koyhanim Leviim V'Yisraelim Moinemar." Right, it doesn't say Keli. It doesn't say Kehanim Levim V'Yisraelim that are Oisik B'Torah V'Chai Behem. Elo Ha'adam, it says. Ha'lamadeto Sha'afilu Oivei Kechavim V'Oisik B'Torah Harehu Kekoyen Gadol. That even an Oivei Kechavim, that's Oisik B'Torah, is a Koyen Gadol. So Rameir didn't just once say, Hoyer Rameir Oimer. Rameir flaked Zugin. That's the way we teach Hoyer Rameir Oimer. Rameir used to say, Minay, and how do you know Shafi Loiv Kechavim Oisik B'Torah Shuk Kohen Gadol? How do you know that even a Noiv Kechavim that learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol? Because it says, Ushmartem Es Chukoisai Ves Mishpatei Asher Yasa Oisam Adam V'Chai B'Mani Hashem. It says Ha'adam. It doesn't say Kehanim Levim Yisraelim. What it says is Ha'adam, and this is a Raya, that even Oiv De Kechavim that are Oisik B'Torah, the halacha is that they're going to get tremendous chai. Incidentally, I always thought that this Gemara, and really this pasuk, is a makar to the Rambam. We know the Mishnah says, "Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek lo'olam haba." But the Rambam famously says that olam haba is not unique to Yisraelim. Oiv de kechavim could also be zoicha to olam haba. The chaside umaysa olam. What's the Rambam's raya? The Rambam's raya is because the Mishnah goes through ve'ilu she'elam chelik le'elam habo, and one of the people that are listed in the Mishnah as elam chelik le'elam habo is Bilam. Fake the Rambam, Bilam was from the Umay Sa'ilam anyways. So, Kol Yisrael Yesham Chelik Le'elam habo chutz mi Bilam? Bilam was never included in the klal that you have to exclude him. The Teretz is, says the Rambam, you see from here that Oiv Kechavim could have a chelik in le'elam habo. So, I always thought that this Pasuk right here is a Mefurish Araya. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Ushmartem Es Chukoisav Es Mishpata Asher Yaisa Oisam Ha'odam V'Chai Behem Ani Hashem. Rashi says, quoting a Teretz Koyanim, V'Chai Behem Pashib Shat Le'elam habo. V'chaybe means loylam haba. Shim toime b'loylam haza. Because if you're going to tell me v'chaybe means an oylam haza, v'loy soifa humeis, eventually he's going to die, so it can't be oylam haza. So what does v'chaybe have to mean? V'chaybe has to be loylam haba. Now, Rameir said that this pasuk means even oyv de kechavim, because it says, v'shmartem es chukoysa ves mishpata es sheyasa oysam ha'odam v'chaybe, koyhanim levim v'yisraelim loy nemar, elo ha'odam l'rabi soif de kechavim. And what's shot in the pasuk according to the Torah's Kayanim, it's lo'olam haba. So you see clearly, Oiv Kechavim have a chelik in lo'olam haba. I think it's a mefurish arai. But either way, Rameir said, how do you know that Oiv Kechavim va'oisik b'Torah shuka kain gadol? Because it says Ashayasa oisam ha'adam v'chay behem. It doesn't say kehanim levim v'yisrael. Freight toises throughout Shas says, I don't understand. How does the shtim with Rav Shimon bar Yochai's drasha? Rav Shimon bar Yochai said that kivri Oiv Kechavim einem etam ba'oil. Why not? Shenemar va'atim tzoyim nitzoyim marisei adam atem. And we from them atem kriyam adam to in ha'oiv de kechavim kriyam adam. Here you have a mefurish gemara and daf gimel amud aleph from Meir's halacha that it says ashiyasa ois adam achayvem it's the rabbis even ha'oiv de kechavim. So ha'oiv de kechavim called adam or they not called adam? This is Tosis kasha and Tosis brings b'shem Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam said you have to say there's a chilek between adam and ha'adam. Adam atem kriyam adam. Adam kiyamus boil is adam. Stam Adam is always Yisrael. Ha Adam with the Hey Ayidiyah, that can mean even over the Kechavim. So when it says Adam Ki Yamos Ba'oil, that's Adam without the Hey. Without the Hey, Atem Kriyam Adam, in over the Kechavim Kriyam Adam. When it says Asheyasa Oysam Ha Adam, V'chaibahem, over there it's L'rabba, it's even over the Kechavim, because with the Hey in front, even over the Kechavim would be included. And the truth is, at first glance, it's almost Sisrei Torah. Very, very sussum. What's the difference between Adam and Ha'adam? And really, if you think about it, what's Pasha Pshat in Atem Kriyam Adam? The Ein Oivdei Kechavim Kriyam Adam. So you would think that what the Gemara is saying is that Klal Yisrael, because of their Madrega, so they're on the Madrega of Adam. But the Oivdei Kechavim are not in the Madrega of Adam. Right? There's different levels. There's Doimim, there's Tzimeach, there's Chai, Medaber, the Kuzari said there's a Madrega of Yisrael. So it's a different Madrega. And the Madrega of Adam is the Madrega of Yisrael. It's not the Madrega of Oiv Dekechav. Now, if that's the case, then for sure, what's the difference between Adam and Ha'adam? Makes a difference if it says it with the Hey or if it says it without the Hey. So, of course, this is something that's very, very sussum. It's a Rabbeinu Tam that's quoted throughout Shas. But could be, just to make it a little bit leichter, that is, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes, in his Hagoyis Maratz Chiyos, on this Gemara, has a very, very famous comment. One of the most famous Hagoyis, one of the most famous comments of the Maratz Chiyos. He says, what does it mean when Chazal said, Atem Kriyam Adam, Ve'in Ovdei Kechavim Kriyam Adam? So I'll read it inside. Ein HaKavona Kan, Lohitzi Yesara Amim Michlal Adam. Rav Shimon Echai never meant to say that the Ovdei Kechavim are not called Adam. Rak Chazal bo lefarish. Chazal wanted to say, ki b'chol eis asher niske b'toyre u'bekis ve'kodesh stam loshen Adam, that whenever you find in Chazal, or wherever you find in the Torah, kisvei ha'kodesh, you find the word Adam, like kivnu rak el b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk means b'nei Yisrael. And he says something very nice. Kimoi b'chol sifrei v'nimusei hadas, ha'miyuchadis l'uma achas. He says, take any constitution, any set of bylaws that pertain to any particular stam, wherever it says stam, that a person has to do something, a person can't do something, hakavana, what's it referring to? It's talking to the people that have an obligation to listen to all these different decrees. The same is true regarding Torah B'Nevi'im. Stam, wherever it says in the Torah, Stam Adam, Hakavon al Yisrael, Ki Rak Lohem, Hitifu Milosom, Zulaz Bemokan, the Mefurish, the Nivogam, the Umas. He says, because that's who the Torah is talking to. The mitzvahs were given to, it was given to the Yidden. So if it was given to the Yidden, so obviously, wherever it says Adam, that's what it's going to be referring to. Anything that was the Torah, Nevi'im Uksuvim are talking to the Jews. So if that's who it's talking to the Israelim. So Adam is going to mean that. Just like the same would be true for any set of laws that pertain to any ummah. That's the way it is for the Yidden. And then he says at the end, Upashit, he says to me, it's Pashit, that's Pshat in this Chazal of Atem Kriyam Adam, Ve'ein Ummah Yisraelim Kriyam Adam. Meaning, Matzchias is saying that Atem Kriyam Adam, Ve'ein Oivdei Kecham Kriyam Adam, does not mean that there's something about the Ma'il of Klai Yisrael that makes them Adam, as opposed to all the other Ummahs, and as a result, Atem Kriyam Adam. It's more of a practical thing. It's a Metzias thing. Just like the United States Constitution is talking to legal American citizens, so too, the Torah is talking to Yidden. It's in that same exact vein. Upashit, says the Maratz Chiyos. Now, if that's the case, then maybe that opens up a Mafteach to understand a little bit the difference between Adam and Ha'adam. Either way, but the point was not that. The point was a very important Rabbeinu Tam, and this Maratz Chiyos. But the truth is that as relates to this Gemara, the Gemara that we are discussing, Atem Kriyam Adam, Ve'eino Ovdei Kechavim Kriyam Adam, and what exactly the Pshat might be, is a very interesting, well-known piece of history that I believe is worth revisiting, Ve'ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush. And that is, once upon a time, there was an issue that Yidden used to deal with on an annual basis, and that was the blood libels. The premise of the blood libels were that when Yidden baked matzahs to be mekayim their mitzvah of the Erev Teichlo matzahs, they would take blood of a young noitzri and they would mix it in together with the recipe, and that's the way they would bake matzahs. And every year in different shtetlach around Europe, there would be a situation where they would find some child that was a noitzri. He was found dead, and immediately there would be a libel. They would be choshed a Jew, there would be Edim, and there was always a big tumult, and it was what was known as the blood libels, and the Kadmonim already talk about it in the Svarim and the Mount of Tzaris that the Yidden had because of the blood libels. The most famous blood libel in modern history was the libel of Menachem Mendel Baylis. Happened in the year 1911. It happened in Kiev, which at the time was not the capital of Ukraine, but at the time was part of the Russian Empire. And Mendel Baylis was accused of killing some young Nitzri and for the purpose of baking matzahs. Now, this whole situation spiraled out of control. He ended up being put on trial, and the trial was publicized. It was something that was it received a lot of international attention. Now, the Russian government, who was prosecuting him, they took this very, very seriously, and they assembled a dream team of attorneys. They literally took their best lawyers that they had, and they sent them to Kiev to be part of the prosecution because they were really, really going to go after him. But when Baylis was put on trial, it wasn't just Baylis that was put on trial, but really it was Klal Yisrael was being put on trial, and specifically the Talmud was being put on trial. And this is also a theme that goes back to the times of the Rishonim and of the early Nitzrim, where there were always accusations that were being made that there are certain passages in the Torah that would seem to be very incriminating in terms of what the Yidden believed about the Nitzrim. And just like the Talmud had physically gone on trial in the 14th century with Rabbi Chilmi Paris and the Maram Rutenberg's Kinna that he wrote. So this was Me'inyan Le'inyan. Obviously, it was about a blood libel, and it was about a Jew that was being accused of killing somebody for their ritual baking of matzahs. But really, the sub-theme was, and where a lot of the back and forth was between the prosecution and the defense, was not so much Baylis's character, but it was a lot the Talmud itself. Because if the Talmud is going to have a very, very low opinion of the Nitzrim, and they're going to support somehow this whole idea, then that would give a lot of credibility to the blood libels in general and to the arguments that were being made. As an interesting piece of history, there was a special witness that played a very, very important role in the prosecution's argument. He was a Nitzri, he was a Galich, somewhere from that region. He was very, very famous. He had received international acclaim. He was someone that had written a book, anti the Talmud, and basically going through different portions and different passages in the Talmud and trying to make the case that what the Talmud, that the Talmud had, you know, different disparaging remarks related to the Nitzrim, and this person was called up to the stand. Now, it seems that the Yidden knew that as Nishkeven Azag Reis Talmud Chacham, as much as he had done good research, but at the same time, they felt that this was someone that they were able to handle. So the defense gets up, and you know, he's called to the stand, and they had the right to start questioning him. So they start questioning him. So the one that was doing the question asked him the following question. He asked him, what does Chulin mean? He said, there's a Masechta called Masechtas Chulin. So he looked, he says, he didn't know what Chulin is. He said, how about Erevin? Do you know what Erevin means? He was quiet. He pleads the fifth. How about Yevamis? Do you know what Yevamis is? That's a hard question, right? He says, do you know what Yevamis is? The follow-up would have been Arba Achen. But he asked him, do you know what Yevamis is? He says, Chvesnish Yevamis. So then he asked him, I want to ask you one final question. He said, who was Bava Basra, and when exactly in history did she live? And he was quiet. La'adam. Now when he couldn't answer that question, everybody started laughing, because Bava Basra is obviously not a person. So as a postscript to this, they say that there was international media there, that someone wrote in one of the American papers, he was trying to explain to the American audience what exactly it meant for someone to be stumped by that question. So the mashal that he gave was, that would be the equivalent to somebody asking an historian, he said, who lived at the Gettysburg Address, and he wouldn't be able to answer that question. The point was, he said, this is your Talmudic critic, this is your person who's doing a deep dive into the Talmud, and he's going to tell us what the Talmud means and what the Talmud doesn't mean, since he's a Baka Maharetz, a Weiss Gunish, a Weiss Kappes Fies. He's not sure who Bava Basra was. But the bottom line is, this is just a little bit of a snippet, one scene into the trial of Mendel Baylis. But a big part of what was going on was dealing with this. Now, the person that led the defense for the Yidden, he was the chief rabbi of Moscow. He was appointed by the Russian government, and he was the one that had no choice. He was the one that was going to have to do this. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Mazer. Mazer, spelled Mem Zayin Aleph Hey, was a Kohen, and it's Rosh HaTevish Mizera Aharon HaKohen. Mem Zayin is Mizera, Aleph Hey is Aharon HaKohen. But legend has it that he was consulting at the time with a very young Ramea Shapiro. So Meir Shapiro was nifter in his mid-40s in 1933. This is 1911 to 1913, so he would have been very, very young at the time. But the legend is that he was talking to Meir Shapiro, and Meir Shapiro was helping him with his defense. Now, the number one Gemara that he was challenged with, which throughout history Yidden were challenged with, was the Gemara we learned in today's daf. Reb Shimon bar Yochai said, "Kivrei oiv dechavim emim metame ba'ol shenemar va'atim tzoyni tzoyim marisi adam atem atem kruyim adam ve'ena oiv dechavim kruyim adam." And the Gemara would seem to see ena oiv dechavim kruyim adam. So if you don't consider oiv dechavim an adam, so what, you consider him like a behema? So just like you would slaughter a behema, why wouldn't you slaughter an oiv dechavim? That was the argument that was being made, and this was an argument that Yidden had a lot of tzaras from. A lot of tzaras from this. And that was the taina. Incidentally, the Noida Behuda in his Akdomatis Tzlach, so this is right in the beginning of Tzlach and Masechtes Brachas. So he has a disclaimer. His Natzlus HaMechaber. He writes, "Kvar Noida v'nesparsim b'chol ha-mekoymes asher ha-yisi sh'ani mazir u'mechiach b'roi v'adroshes asher ani doirish b'rabim li'ois nizem ma'oid b'kovod u'mois asher b'zmanenu." The Behuda says that anyone that knows me, and anyone that's ever heard any of my droshes knows, that whenever I speak, I always make the following disclaimer, that you have to be nizer in all the umay sa'oilam bizmanenu. V'anachnu choysem b'artzoy seyem, u'bimedinoy seyem, v'chayovim anachnu l'spalo b'sholim ha'mlochim v'asorim v'chayloy seyem. He says, we have to daven for them, we have to daven for sholim ha'mlochim, we have to daven for their chayloy seyem, he says, for their military. It's very, very important that we daven. U'lispalo l'al shloim ha'medina v'yoshveh. This is Rabbi Cheska Landon, the Noida Behuda talking. V'chalilu alonu li'ois kfuyei toivo. He says, chas v'sholim for us to be kafu toiv. Asher heima metiv en imanu, v'noisen lanu michya, v'shne'eris ba'aretz. V'gamani mazit tomen ala gezel v'ala gneva. So I always talk about gezel and gneva. U'maydi, I always let it be known that there's no chilik between gezel akum and gezel yisrael. He said, I already spoke about this barichos in the beginning of my sefer Noida b'Yehuda. So that you have to understand that that's what it means. And then he says, but the most important thing I'm going to tell you, hakol hoylich acher achitum. Shekol makim shenimsa b'shum chibur dover gnai al akum oigoyim v'kutin ukeyoytze b'lashoynes alonu. Anytime you see any dover shel gnai, shloy kita lefarish al umay salalo shebizmanenu. You shouldn't think it's referring to the umay salalo nowadays. Ki am a farish ken hu toya. Umefarish shloy kedash al toya. Any person that translates it that way is making a mistake. Avol hakavano al umay hakadmoinim. It's referring to the umay hakadmoinim. They believed in koychavim and mazalis. What does akum mean? Akum is an acronym. Oivde koychavim umazalis. They literally worshipped the stars and all these celestial beings. Ukamaya katat savo shehisker Rambam sefer Amayra. Rambam talks a lot about this group of oivde vaydazarin the Amayra. Shoisano umois apikarsin uminim hayuvlei haydu bebriyas oivam vekrisu kalamoichsim vekrisu hanavua velochen yizar kalecha b'divrei elu b'yasam oisai alibelazikarin. He says you have to be very, very aware of this. You have to be very, very careful of this. Now, of course, this introduction that the Noida Behuda gave to Sefer Hatzlach is in line with the hesped that he gave on Maria Theresa, the Enkam Mekoy Moila Harech. But the point is, like, Yehuda was saying something very, very profound. He was saying, not just this Natsos, he was saying something. What he was saying was, is that once upon a time, the Ovdei Kechavim were Ovdei Kechavim Mazolis, literally. And if you read even a little bit about, like, the Katatzava that he refers to, that the Rambam talks about the Moira, he says these were pagans. The rituals that they had, the things that they did, they were Mamish Kebehemis Nidmu. It's the truth. And there was an idea of Atem Kriyam Adon, the Ein Ovdei Kechavim Kriyam Adon. What the Yehuda was saying was, is that a civilized society, you can't say that they're not called Adam. And this was a very important disclaimer that he felt, obviously, but this was something that he talked a lot about, and it's something that permeates all the Svarim of the Noida Behuda. But either way, this Gemara itself was a Gemara that was posed very strongly at the Bayless trial, and Kiyodua, the historians say, that when Rabbi Yaakov Maza prepared to answer this question, he said over that Rabbi Shapiro showed him an Oilus Ephraim. And the Oilus Ephraim says that, what does it mean, Atem Kruyim Adam? So he said something beautiful. He said that there are four different words that you find, four synonyms to describe man. Man is referred to as an Ish, a Gever, an Enosh, and an Adam. He says three out of these four terms you can find in the plural. The fourth one is not in the plural. Ish, you find sometimes it says Ishim. Gever, you find Gvarim. Enosh, Anoshim. But he says the word Adam never comes in the plural form. There's no plural of Adam. And said the Oilus Ephraim, the Oimik in Divrei Chazal were Atem Kriyam Adam, Klal Yisrael, because of the Achdos, because of the way they unify, the way they rally together when there's another Yid that's Bitzar, you're Kriyam Adam. You can take an entire Ummah, and you can refer to the Ummah in the singular as being Adam. Aber ve'eino oivdei kechavim Kriyam Adam. Oivdei kechavim don't have it. And really, the genius of Rav Meir Shapira was not only to answer the question, but it was really to make a very, very powerful point. Because Kiyudu, the Achdos that was shown at that time, during this trial, was incredible. It was something that the world was absolutely amazed by. And what he was saying was, is you want to understand what's going on right here? It's the teretz to your kasha. It's atem kriyam adam daika. Not ish, not gever, not enoish, but it's dafka adam. Because adam is something that can only be in the singular. Because that's the essence of Klal Yisrael. The essence of Klal Yisrael is that it can only be in the singular. I once heard from Rabbi Shua Abba, he said over in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Yankif, that the pasuk says in the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha, Vayikach Avram es Sarai ishtoi, ves loit ben achiv, ves kol ruchushem asher rochashu, ves hanefesh asher asu b'chorim, vayetzu lelechas arza kanan, vayavoyu arza kanan. So they took with them the nefesh asher asu b'chorim. And the Targum famously says, what does it mean, the nefesh asher asu b'chorim? V'yos nafshosa di shabidu lo'i reisa b'chorim. It means all the people that they were megayer. Rashi says, Avram migayeres ha'anoshim, v'soru migayeres es ha'anoshim. So Rabbi Shmuel Yankiv said, how did Chazal know that Vanefesh Asher Asu B'chorim was the nefashis that they were megayer? Maybe it means Vanefesh Asher Asu B'chorim. They did geshef. Right, we know Avram had Eliezer, Eved Avram, so maybe they took the Avodim and the Shvachis. Meichatesa, that's what it was. So he said, a Dover Niflo. He said that Rashi brings in Parshas Vayigash, Matsosi b'vayikra Rabba. It says, Esav, Sheish Nafshois Hoyuloi. It's a pasuk in the Torah. He had Sheish Nafshois. Six people, Vakos of Kaira Oysam Nafshois. Loshin Rabbin. Yaakov, it says, B'shivim Nefesh. Yordu Avisein Olam Mitzrayim. They were 70 and it says Nefesh. So Rashi says, why? He says, because by Esav there was no Achdos. So six people were Nafshois. He said, Yaakov, B'shivim, it was Nefesh, there was Achdos. And it was B'shivim, 70 people of a Nefesh Achas. So Rabbi Shmuel Yankiv said, Vayikach Avram es Sarai Ishnei, Ves Loit Ben Ochiv, Ves Koruchushem Asher Ochoshu, Ves HaNefesh Asher Osu B'choron. It's not Nefesh. It should have been the first choice. Asher Asu. It wasn't one person, it was people. So what's this Lashon of Nefesh, Lashon Yachid? Muzayin v'yos nafshos adi shabidu lei reisa. Mas bi shechnis un tachas kan fe yashchina. Avram megayeres ha'anoshim v'sorim megayeres ha'anoshim. That was the raya to Chazal. That it must be that this was not v'as ha'nefesh, this is not avodim u'shvachis. But rather what this is referring to a geyeres. It's this idea of atem kruyam adam, the ein oivdei kechavim kruyam adam. I'll stop here.